We see you. It's true. Thank you for serving. I know sometimes we forget the people we live with and the people that serve us every day are the ones that's easiest to just take for granted. But we salute you, moms, today. Thank you. A little few tears. I hate that. Same thing happens to me all the time. Anyway, so today I just want to take a look at God's Word. And one of the things, you know, like when we have Mother's Day and we have Father's Day, the complaint to the fathers is that generally we're really nice to moms and we're tough on fathers. So we're going to reverse it this year. I'm going to be really tough on the moms this year and really easy on the fathers. No. We're going to look at God's Word. And God, we've been talking a lot about being God's reflected glory in the earth. That God shows himself through us to the world. And God created us with special attributes. And mothers, God created with some special attributes. I want to look at Genesis chapter 1 today, verse 26 and 27. It says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, every creep that creeps." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The word man in this verse is not man. It's humankind. And we sometimes think that when we think about God, right, like I've heard this argument over the years, you know, because people have tried to feminize the Bible or whatever, and we think of God as either being man or woman. And really, when God created us, he created man and woman in his image. God's attributes are displayed in certain ways in men, and God's attributes are shown in different ways in women than they are in men. But we all have the attributes of God living in us. We all reflect the glory of God. And that's our responsibility here on the earth, is to reflect God's glory to others. And moms do that as they reflect certain attributes of God. God created mothers. He created your mother, and he made her special. He made her to reflect God's glory in very specific ways. Motherly traits are godly traits. So these things, you know, like we watch these videos and we cry, and we can all see some parts of our mother in these videos, like, some people didn't have perfect mothers, and I recognize that. It wasn't always the best or the easiest for you. But if we all look, we saw some things there that our mothers reflected, right? And so these traits, though, are godly traits. So I'm going to just look at a few of the traits that mothers demonstrate or reflect from God. The first one is moms are intuitive, right? You ever heard of that, mother's intuition? Mothers have eyes in the back of their head. Right? I think Christine was talking to someone the other day, and she said, "Oh, you have to get those eyes in the back of your head working better." And I was like, you know, it's the weirdest thing to say to someone, right? But the person didn't even flinch, because we all know what that means, right? Right? It's just like, it's sort of the trait of a mother. Like, you could be sitting in a quiet house, man and woman sitting together, and all of a sudden the mom will go like, "Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Where are those kids? What are they doing?" Right? Because moms have an intuition. They know things. They seem to know things that you never told them. They just seem to know things even though you never told them. Still, they find things out. You ever notice that? Sometimes you think you're pulling the wool over your mom's eyes, and you find out you didn't really pull the wool over their eyes. Hey, like, they know. So, when you watch a mother, right, they, with a young child, and the young child starts to cry, the mother always knows what's wrong. Like, we don't have young children anymore. We have a dog, and Christine's a mom, and the dog, he's whining at our feet, and I'm like, "What do you want?" And he's like, she goes, "Well, don't you know he wants to go to the washroom?" And I'm like, "No, I didn't, or else I'd have taken him." But moms know, like, when a kid cries, they know what's wrong with them. They know, you know, like, they can almost intuitively tell what's the matter. I noticed even this morning when little Stephen was up here grabbing like that uh, that table, and I see a few mothers like jumping, right, because they sort of knew. I was like, cool, look at that. And they're like, gonna get hurt, right? Mothers know. Even though a child can't speak, the mother still knows. Mothers always know what's going on. Mothers see all. Mothers have eyes in the back of their head. Mothers are the closest thing to omniscient that we have on the planet. They just know. And although there was this one trick I used to play on my mom, and I don't think she ever caught on. Like, I hated going to school. I hated it. I just despised it. So whatever morning I woke up, and that was most mornings, and I didn't want to go to school, I'd go to my mom and I'd say, Mom, I don't really feel very good today. Could you pray for me? And then she would like, okay. So she prays. She said, go back to bed. And she never caught on because she let me get away with it a lot. I'm always surprised I never got struck by lightning for doing that one. But it was like, you know, but then some other things I thought I got away with, and later on in life I found out that she actually knew anyway. So, where do moms get that? Where does it come from? Well, it comes from God, right? That intuition. If we read Matthew chapter 9, I'm just going to go through a few verses here, and it says, Matthew 9 verse 4 says, Jesus knew what they were thinking. In Matthew 12:25, it says, since Jesus knew what they were thinking, he said to them. In Luke 5:22, it says, Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he said to them, well, what are you thinking? That's a mom trick, right? I'm a dad, so I never could do that trick, but this is the trick I used to pull. You guys can use it on your little kids. I tell them, I'm going to hold your little finger. Give me your little finger, and I'm going to hold it, and I'll be able to tell if you're lying, right? So the kids, every time I grab their finger, they'd be like, ah! They tell me the truth. But Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he said to them, what are you thinking? In Luke 6, verse 8, it says, but Jesus knew what they were thinking. You getting the theme here? Jesus knew, and it says again in Luke 11:17, it says, since Jesus knew what they were thinking, he said to them. Mothers are like Jesus. They reflect his image. And why is that important? Why is mother's intuition important? Because it reminds us that God knows. God knows. He knows what you're going through. He knows your stuff. He knows what you've done right. He knows what you've done wrong. He knows. And he loves you. And he wants us to know that he knows. Sometimes we try to hide things from our moms. Anybody try to do that? Sneak some things around them? Right? Or sometimes they would ask us something and we wouldn't want to tell them because we were embarrassed to tell them. And the truth is, sometimes we're like that with God. We don't want to tell God things, right? Have you ever had this thought and then you don't want to tell God? Anybody? Right? He's just like, I don't want him to know. And it's like, he knows. He knows. He knows what you're thinking, right? And he knows and he cares about you. He knows. So why not confess to him? Why not tell him what you're going through? You know, didn't you always feel better after you talked to your mom and you knew, like, you had to get this out and you got it out and you talked to your mom and you felt better afterward? It's the same with Jesus. If you're going through something and you need to tell someone, he already knows, so tell him. Share with him. Confess your sins to him. Tell him what you're afraid of. Tell him what you need help with. He cares. He loves you. Don't be afraid to confess to God the things you have done and what things are bothering or concerning you. Because that brings us to our second attribute of mothers. Mothers are compassionate. You know, like, mothers are compassionate. You see any kid crying in the room, and most mothers want to run and comfort that kid. Sometimes when they're screaming, you want to run and give them a little... Right? But mothers are compassionate. When they see somebody hurting, mothers generally will have compassion. I want to read you a story. It's out of the Old Testament. It's about prostitutes. So we're going to read this on Mother's Day, but there's a rhyme and a reason behind the story. A short time later, it says in 1 Kings 3, verse 16 to 17, short time later, two prostitutes came to the king Solomon and stood in front of him. One woman said to him, "Sir, this woman and I live in the same house. I gave birth to a son while she was with me in the house. 2 days later, this woman also gave birth to a son, and we were alone. No one else was with us, just the two of us were in the house. That night, this woman's son died because she rolled over on top of him. So she got up during the night and took my son, who was beside me, and while I was asleep, she held him in her arms, and then she laid her dead son in my arms. And when I got up in the morning to nurse my son, he was dead. I took a good look at him and realized that he wasn't my son at all." And the other woman said, "No, my son is alive and your son is dead." The first woman kept on saying, "No, your son is dead and my son is alive." So they're arguing in front of the king. The king says, "This one keeps saying, 'My son is alive, your son is dead.' And that one keeps saying, 'No, your son is alive and my son is dead.' Your son is dead and my son is alive." So the king told his servant to bring him a sword. Imagine that. Like, think of being in the room with Solomon when he did this, right? "Bring me a sword." And when they brought it, he said, "Cut the living child in two. Give half to the one and half to the other." Then the woman whose son was still alive was deeply moved by her love for the child. And she said to the king, "Please, sir, give him the living child. Please don't kill him." But the other woman said, "He won't be mine or yours. Cut him in two." And the king replied, "Give the living child to the first woman. Don't kill him. She is his mother." There's some really awesome thoughts in this story, right? This is a woman who was living in a really risky and sinful lifestyle. This was like people that culture looked down on. But in the presence of the king, she was treated fairly and with justice. This is really important to know, that whatever you've done in life, whatever kind of lifestyle you've been living, when you come into the presence of the king, you will be treated justly. God's good. And the other thing that I really saw in this verse, and the reason I wrote it, is even though she was living in this really risky and really tough lifestyle, as soon as she became a mom, she became a really caring and compassionate person. She, I don't know, like I watch moms with babies, especially first babies. I watch like Melissa, you know, with Andrew, and I've seen it with, you know, with Jen and with a bunch of the girls here as their babies are little. Those little babies, you touch those babies in any kind of negative way and those little girls will rip your head off, right? And they want their babies. They want to hold on to their children. They want to love the children, you know. And so when this situation came up, this is a hard situation. And the mother loved the child and wanted to be with the child. And even when the time came where the king says, "Okay, so cut the baby in half, give one half to each, let's split it up," you know, the mother of the child said, "Even though I really want my child and I really want to be involved in raising him, even though this is wrong and this is not right, I want my child to have the best. Please let my child, just let the child live. Even if that horrible, crazy woman is going to raise it, like, let her raise it." But instead, she had compassion on the child, where the others said, "No, just go ahead, cut it in half, we'll split it up." You know, like, so even when we don't have everything together, even if we don't have everything right, the nature of God is still flowing in us. You might think sometimes that you're too bad or too evil or not good enough for God, but the truth is, no matter where you are, what you're doing, God has put things inside of you that he's never going to call back. He's never going to take that nature away. God loves you, and he cares. He has compassion. So where did she get that from? Because it was like not in her lifestyle to be compassionate. It was like she's living a hard lifestyle, right? Well, she got it from God. So you might think, how many of you ever felt like your mom was a little over the edge on being overprotective? Anybody? Like just tried to meddle a little bit too much in your life? Anybody? No, nobody's putting up their hands. They don't want to feel guilty in front of their mom. Most people think moms are just a little bit over the edge. They just want to be a little too involved, a little too much. "Mom, can't I have any secrets?" Right? But the reason a mom is like that is because she's compassionate. She cares. Right? The word compassion really means full of passion. full of passion for you. Your mom is full of passion, and God also is full of passion for you. He cares about you. He wants the best for you. So your mom's passionate for you. She knows, she wants to know that you're okay, that you're safe. Most moms can't settle down until the kids are all home at night, right? I'm the guy that stays up in our house, but even though I stay up, Christine still comes out of the room, you know, at about 11:30 and says, "Where's the boys? Are they home yet?" You know, because she knows. She's listening. She's waiting. And moms are like that. Moms care about the kids. So this is what it says in Matthew 9:36. "But seeing the crowds, he," Jesus, "was moved with compassion on them because they were scattered like sheep having no shepherd." Jesus had compassion on them, really, because they were like children without a mother. Right? Same. They needed the guidance and the care of a mother. In Matthew 22, verse 37, it says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets and stone the messengers God has sent you. How many times I wanted to put my arms around all your people, just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not let me." Jesus really had an instinct to have compassion, to be like a mother to the people of Israel, to really care. That's what it says here, like a hen for her chicks. God, the nature of God is to be compassionate. We think about, you know, Jesus and his life and Jesus and his death. Jesus, the Bible says, God loved the world or had so much passion. You know, the Good Friday is really called the Passion, right? The passion of the Christ. It's that God has so much passion for us that he gave, that he cared for us, that he loved us. Luke 7, verse 12 to 14 says, "Just as he arrived at the gate of the town, a funeral procession was coming out. The dead man was the only son of a mother, or of a woman who was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart was filled with pity for her, and he said to her, 'Don't cry.' And then he walked over, he touched the coffin, and the man carrying it stopped. And Jesus said, 'Young man, get up, I tell you.' And he got up." Why did Jesus have compassion on the mother? Because he created her. He loved her. He cared for her. The Bible says that Jesus was touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Right? That's what it says. That Jesus actually, he didn't just come to the earth to die. He came to identify with us too, to be touched by us and by our feelings. In the same way, the mother was sad because her son was dead. God's sad when things go bad in our life, when bad things happen. He mourns when you mourn. He weeps when you weep. How do we know this? The Bible says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." Right? God never asks us to do something that he's not willing to do. And God's never asked us to do something that we can't do. When he asks us to do it by the strength and the power of his Holy Spirit, we could do it. God has compassion on you. When you're going through a hard time, or if you're a mother here and your child is going through a hard time, how does that affect you? It's hard, right? Makes you worry, makes you cry, makes you pray. It concerns you. And that's the same with God when we go through a hard time. So he cares. So the first point was a mother is intuitive. It reminds us that God knows. The second point was God is compassionate. It reminds us that he cares. God cares. He cares about you. He cares about what you're going through. He cares. So God not only knows, but he cares. The question a lot of people ask is, does God even know what I'm going through? Does God even care that I'm going through this? The answer is yes, he does. And he shows that through mothers. He does. In Isaiah 66, verse 13, it says, "As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you. And you will be comforted in Jerusalem." God cares. He comforts. The third thing and the last thing I want to talk about this morning is mothers are nurturers. Right? You ever notice little girls? Little girls, as soon as they're, you know, old enough to walk, they're walking around with a doll under their arm and they're dressing it up and they're doing their hair and they're, you know, burping it and they want to wash it. And the girls just are nurturers by nature from the time they're little, right? They're always nurturing. Little boys, on the other hand, when I was a little boy, all the ladies already don't like my whole cat story thing, but you know, like little boys, you know, they tear dolls apart. It's like Toy Story 2, you know, put that leg where the head used to be, and you know, it's just like that's what boys do. Boys take their cars and they smash them together, and they do all this kind of. Boys aren't nurturers, right? Like they sword fight. They're fighting. Like me and my brothers when we were little. You know, I remember one time we always got hand-me-downs, you know. And one time in the bag of hand-me-downs, we got boxing gloves, you know. That was fun. Me and my brother John, we beat each other until we fell down. We laughed, lay on the ground for a while, and then we got up and hit each other again. It was so fun. But the next day, those gloves were gone, and we never saw them ever again. Huh? I don't know what happened. Just trying to nurture each other with them, right? I'd never have a boy babysit, right? Would you? Like, I never would have had a boy babysit my kids. All I can think of is the kids tearing the house apart and the kid playing Xbox, right? Boys just aren't nurturers, but girls are. It's born into them. They're born with that nature to nurture, right? So God, though, put that nature in moms, in girls. God built that in. It's a reflection of God's nature. The question is not here whether God is a man or a woman, because that's not the issue. We as men and women reflect the glory and the nature of God. And the nature of God is a God that nurtures. And it's reflected in women and mothers especially. There's men that have to nurture. As a pastor, I'm a nurturer. But it's not as natural for me as it is for women. So it says in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7, but we were gentle among you, this is Paul speaking, even as a nursing mother warmly cherishes her children. So God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Paul, if you read Paul was never really like that guy, right? Like if you read the story of Paul was not like gentle, like nursing mother guy. He wasn't that guy. But the only reason he could say this is because of the power of the Holy Spirit working through him. He was able to be a nurturer to the church. So God called him to do that. A mother, though, is born with the character of a nurturer. It's natural for her. But again, where did she get it? Does anybody know? I think the answer is getting pretty clear, right? It's from God. God gave a mother the ability to be a nurturer. And the thing is, you know, God wants you to know that he will care for you and nurture you. We all go through hard times. We all go through times where we're broken, where we're struggling. And the promise that God made is that he'll nurture you. It says in Matthew 12, verse 20, God won't walk over anyone's feelings, won't push you into a corner. Before you know it, his justice triumphs. In the King James, it says a bruised reed he will not, you know, break. Is the idea is that there's this idea that something is fractured or broken or hurt, and that God said he would never, ever push that to the point of breaking, but he would nurture it and love it and make it come back to health. If you've gone through hard times, I want to tell you this. Jesus is with you. He's here to help you. He'll be there to help you through it and see you healed and restored. So, mothers are, first of all, intuitive. They reflect God's nature that God knows. They're compassionate. It reflects the nature of God that he cares. And they are nurturers. It says that God is there to help. Reminds us of these things. So, as mothers, one of your callings in this earth is to reflect that nature of God so people can see God and come to God. So many times, though, we try to blame God for things that are going on in our life, right? A lot of people say things like, well, you know, I got this flat tire on my way to work today, and I know God's trying to teach me something through it. I know that God's, you know, just trying to teach me a lesson. I don't know what that lesson is, but God's trying to teach me something through this. And here's what I want to say to you. Truthfully, if God wants to teach you something, He's going to tell you what He's trying to teach you. You're going to know God's trying to teach you something. Another thing I want to tell you is this. Tires go flat. And it's not because God, and it's not because the devil. It's just because of life. Sometimes things happen. The promise, though, is I don't believe that God brings bad things into your life to teach you something. But the promise is that when bad things are going on in your life, that God will be with you. And that if you'll trust in Him and lean on Him, that you can learn things. And that you can grow from them. And that God will be with you. And that He'll care. And that He'll know. And that He'll help you through it. So, this morning, we could all say, yeah, I believe you. God knows. God cares. God, you know, He'll help. So what do I do? And here's what I always think of. And I really believe this. Probably many of you have had me hear, heard me say this to you. Right? Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Right? When you were kids, I remember my sons when they were little. When something happened, when they hurt themselves, when they were scared, like when they had a nightmare in the middle of the night or whatever, they never ran to me. They never came to my side of the bed in the middle of the night and said, Dad, I'm scared. They always ran to their moms. And even if they hurt themselves, they would run right by me to get to their mom and say, Mom, I'm hurt, help. Right? If you're hurting today, just cry out to God. Say, God, help me. I need you. God created moms so that you could see His nature reflected in them. And God's here today. He knows what you're going through. He cares so deeply for you. And He wants to help. So Lord, we come this morning. We're thankful, Lord, for the moms that we can see Your reflected glory in them. Lord, help all the moms here to realize that they're here to display Your glory. And Lord, help them to, Lord, just conform more and more to Your image, Lord, as they go through their days. But Lord, I want to pray for the people here today, Lord, that are just going through something. Lord, even as You're speaking to their hearts and, Lord, letting them know that You know and that You care and that You want to help, Lord. I just pray by the power of Your Holy Spirit this morning, Lord, that if that problem, Lord, is, you know, a financial struggle, that You'll help them, Lord, financially. Lord, if it's a relational struggle, Lord, that You'll, Lord, just, Lord, help them. Lord, You'll be with them. Lord, if it's a physical struggle, Lord, I thank You that You'll heal them. Lord, we thank You for that. We just, Lord, again, as we close the service now, Lord, I just pray that You will bless each mother here. Lord, that even as we go in the cafe, Lord, that we pray that You'll bless our food and our time together. Pray that You'll have the mothers have mercy on us and leave us some of the good food too. And Lord, that we'll all just have a great time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a great day. Happy Mother's Day.